This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hello and welcome to The Great Indoors,
the podcast which reveals everything you ever needed to know about interiors and explains how to make it all really work for you in your home.
I'm Sophie Robinson.
And I'm Kate Watson-Smythe. And do you know what? Not only are we together in real life again, but we're on location again.
I know, Kate. I mean, this is just mad, isn't it? 2 years recording under the duvets via Zoom, and suddenly we find ourselves out and about all over the place. But I have to say, today's location is particularly stunning.
Well, it's a bit of you, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it's totally a bit of me, isn't it? Because we're here at the Ham Yard Hotel in central London. And, well, Kate, who are we going to meet?
Yes, we are here to meet Kit Kemp, MBE, no less. Now, Kit has an international reputation, not only for her unique hotel interiors as founder and creative director of the Kit Kemp Design Studio and Ferndale Hotels, but also as an award-winning textiles, fragrance and homewares designer and author. We've reviewed her book on the show. And a highly respected champion of British art, craft and sculpture.
Now, Kit has collaborated with many global design brands, including Wedgwood, Spode, Wilton Carpets, Anthropology and Christopher Farr. But we're here today to see her latest collaboration with Fabric House GP and Jay Baker.
And we're also going to meet Anne Grafton, MD and Creative Director at GP and Jay Baker.
Wow, two design powerhouses. Right, where are we going?
We're going to Suite 21.
Ooh, let's go in. Ladies, hi, it's so lovely to meet you.
Hi.
Hi, hello. And I have to say, this is looking rather fabulous. So we're in Suite 21, which has been completely redecorated in the new collection. And first of all, should we just say, I'm loving it. It's all delivering all the colour, all the pattern. It's everything I would expect.
Do you know what it's got? It's got fabric walls. It's not even wallpaper. I'm just going to stroke the wall. I better wash my hands.
It's like being inside a sort of shoebox. You know that wonderful couture-y feel, just feeling so comfortable and tailored at the same time.
Oh, I do feel like I'm in a shoebox. A very expensive shoebox. So tell us both of you a bit about this room. Just paint a picture for our listeners. What are we seeing?
Yeah, it's a sort of corally linen that's on the walls, and it makes the whole room come together and feel really luscious and warm and comfortable.
This isn't a big room, and so it's nice just to have a plain colour on the wall and then bring in all the pattern and texture and colour and scale and balance. That's so important within a room.
You've obviously had this collection to pull together, which is, I'm looking at, there's four fabric books over there. This is quite a lot of pattern that we're seeing. And Kit, this is absolutely your area of expertise, isn't it? Layering up the pattern. Again, for the listeners, I'll just say, okay, we've got plain walls, but we've got a fabric on the curtains. There's three footstools with two different fabrics. There's another fabric on the sofa. And the scatters are in a different fabric. And the chairs at the dining table are in another fabric. And the lampshades are in another fabric.
We love it. And you know what? If you can get every area to tell a little story and to look different, it makes your rooms feel bigger. So the hallway is in Wriggle Room, which is one of our very popular small designs. Then you come into this coral linen-y room, and at the curtains we've got Knight's Tale. And Knight's Tale is a very romantic story. It's actually based on a G.P. and J. Baker archive fabric from the 1600s, but repainted in the 20s, and now reinvigorated by colour and style by Anne and myself.
Yes, and it was a design that we found in the archive. Kit loved it. And so our design studio redrew it, rescaled it, and just wanted to modernise it. And when we first started to colour it, it was quite archival. And Kit said, no, you know, let's really go for some really modern colour. So it comes in these delicious colours of plaster here, but also wonderful fuchsia. And actually, the original painted artwork had a chocolate brown background, which we've used and sort of slightly invigorated. So it's a really wonderful story of an archival document that's really come back to life in a modern way.
Can we just go back there? You say an archive from the 16th century.
Yeah.
Is G.P. and J. Baker that old, or have you got the rights? I mean, how have you got stuff that's that old?
So G.P. and J. Baker has this amazing history that the actual G.P. and J. Baker, which is George Percival and James Baker, that were two brothers, they started the company in 1884. But they started the company by purchasing a print company in Crayford in Kent that had an archive of beautiful English documents and historical textile documents that went back beyond and earlier than 1750. So G.P. and J. Baker holds one of the, or the most important archive of English printed textiles in the world. And part of our archive is actually held in the Victoria and Albert Museum.
I mean, it's really interesting, I think, when, you know, obviously you're a contemporary interior designer and you're always pioneering new ways with design, new ways with colour, new ways with fabric. How do you, you know, why do you want to take archive prints rather than, say, create something afresh? What is that balance of something old and making it new that you enjoy?
It's true, isn't it? It's that traditional and then the contemporary. And you definitely don't want to pastiche on the past. And yet, there's always that romance. And I find it's like going into a room and people immediately actually go and touch the oldest antique in the room because of the patina, because of the touch, because of the feel. And somehow, some of these old documents and wonderful illustrations cannot be beaten. So by actually just taking them and then reinvigorating them, sometimes letting them breathe a bit because they can be a bit busy, but not losing that lovely crackle feel that you've got in the background to the fabric, which then gives it extra depth, adding the colour, but then adding mad things with it, like tweak, like potato print, like Robina's dinner party. And you know what? We had the best time with all the names of our fabrics. We really did.
It's brilliant. There's piles and piles of fabric here on the table, and already, see, Kit, this is so your bag, isn't it? Everything feels amazing.
Yep.
I'm seeing all that kind of signature detail.
In the nude, you actually do want to feel that everything is good. Yeah. This is Bunty. Now, Bunty is a fabulous stripe. We wanted to do a stripe collection together. Yep. The weaves mean that it lasts, so you can put it on sofas. It's not going to disappear, and it's not going to look bad after a year and a half.
This is interesting fabric. So I'm seeing here that it almost looks kind of like hand stitched. It has a very artisanal kind of handmade fit. Oh, it is hand-stitched.
Yeah, a lot of it is hand-stitched.
Yeah, it's hand-guided embroidery. So the way this collection evolved was Kit's love of craft and craftsmanship. So when we decided that actually a stripe collection was really important because Kit uses stripes everywhere and they're very associated with her interiors. So we started with this collection, but I wanted it from a production, from a making point of view, to reflect all of the qualities that Kit loves, which is artisanal, craft, looking slightly worn and aged. So we've woven this in some of our fantastic Indian mills that where we have great craftsmanship. So they're woven in cotton and jutes and cotton and a bit of linen in some of them. But they have all are woven and then have embellishment. So they either have hand-guided embroidery or they have hand-block printing on them.
This one is woven, then it's embroidered, and then it's hand-blocked. That is all done by a hand block.
And is this particularly important to you, this sort of layer of craftsmanship?
Yes, because you can see it, can't you? I mean, things that are mass produced always look the same, but if they're handmade, there's always something which is going to change within them. And in fact, because we can only do 4 meters of this a day, there might be some which is slightly stronger colours than other. I don't care about that, and that's something that I think gives that artisanal quality to so many things we do.
Well, I think the Rabina's plates is a really good example.
So just explain what these. So I'm seeing this is a flat printed. Is this like a linen fabric?
Yes,
it's a linen and I'm seeing sort of fabric. A very graphic plate design. One plate's got a cat on, one's got a horse. I think I saw one with a rabbit on.
So Rabina Jack is this fantastic ceramicist who Kit buys a lot of her work for her hotels and for herself.
So normally it's not just hanging on the wall, it's framed. And I just think it's so exciting for her to see all the decoration within the plate as well as the very sort of folk art animals and how on earth she knows they're going to, how they're going to turn out when they come from the kiln. I've got no idea. But her work, like a lot of women's craft work, has always been sort of second little sister to art, whereas in fact we want to pull it forward and make it into art.
And I think this is an example of taking that craft and then giving it to another hugely talented artist, which is our design studio. So my design studio at GP&J Baker took that inspiration from Rabina and from Kit and then drew these again, took all the pattern and colour and put them into a layout that actually created a fabric. So my studio hand-painted this artwork again with this fantastic sort of little spotty background so that actually we took a gorgeous piece of ceramic art and turned it into textile art and turned it into this gorgeous fabric and actually wallpaper. It's the combination of hugely talented artists and craftspeople taking ceramic into textile, which is actually, you know, what we're all about wanting to see and move forward. So I think it's a celebration of art in all those ways.
So we've got corals and greens in here, but through my eye, I can see a rather classic blue and white colour scheme in the bedroom. Ladies, should we go through?
Okay, we're off.
This is delivering all the wow that I would expect from a Kit Kemp bedroom. We've got an oversized headboard with this beautiful bread drapery over the top. There's the valance, there's the bench. There's that classic tailor's dummy kit that you always put in your hotel rooms. But what's really catching my eye is this wallpaper. Can you tell us about that?
Well, the wallpaper is called Tall Trees, and it was painted by Melissa White, who's one of the artists that we absolutely adore using, and she's very, very talented. It actually came, believe it or not, although it's a sort of almost 3 metre repeat, it came from a little handkerchief where it had lots of sort of sycamore leaves on it. And it was for a room which was about 22 feet high, and suddenly thought, God, wouldn't it be wonderful to feel as if you're actually in this forest? And so we brought it to Anne and to the table, and Anne went away and said, oh yes, this is a really nice thing just to add here. And then she went away and she turned it blue and we were so shocked because the Delft blue, suddenly I felt like I was in a plate, you know. It's like one of those wonderful willow pattern plates. And to me, the bedroom in the blue and white with the large overscaled headboard and then, you know, Rainstorm, which is the name of the fabric on the valance, and Bunty, which is the footstool.
I think one of the aims of the collection was to actually, although it has many pieces in it, was to actually use colours all the way through it that brought calmness to decorating schemes. So the idea of having a lot in the collection, but a lot that just really was peaceful and worked together, like all the greens work very well together, the yellows work very well together, and obviously the blues, meant that the collection has a really harmonious feel to it, although it has a lot of pattern and colour within it. And I think that was something we really aimed for as we coloured the collection, that you could get many decorating schemes from it and many layers. It's very layered, but by using harmonious colours.
I love a bold interior, don't want a frantic interior, but there always has to be a way of letting it breathe and pull it back. And that's why we put the planes in there as well. So this gorgeous blue, which could be in Miami, it could be in the Mediterranean, and it's actually in a really grey sort of winter's day over here. But every time you come into this room, it feels like a summer's day. And I think that's really important to get that feel. I think if you can open your eyes in the morning and just feel so good about your surrounding, that's worth $1 million.
Kit, I just want to get more and more into your design philosophy. I'm absolutely loving this. But Anne, I know you've got to get away.
I have got to get away because I have a design meeting this afternoon. Can you believe it? Because we are right in the middle of finalising some of our collections for September with Mulberry Home, which we absolutely love, and doing other things. So we're celebrating all this fantastic product and launch with Kit, but I need to
run. But you're always on to the next thing.
Always on to the next thing. So I'm going to love you and leave you with fabulous Kit to talk about her design philosophy. And thank you for having me on your podcast. I've really enjoyed it. It's been wonderful.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
So, Kit, we've moved into now the corally fabric-covered sitting room area of this suite. And you was telling us about your design philosophy. And I wanted to ask you, for this collection, do you feel you've done something different? Every collection must feel like a new child. How has this one been different?
It's been different because I've always wanted to work with Anne. She is like the Karl Lagerfeld of the fabric world. You know, she's not only working with me, she's working with very talented other designers. And we've often met in various places and said, oh, we must do something, but never got round to it. But then when I was doing Warren Street Hotel, which is our latest hotel in Tribeca in Manhattan, I wanted to have a walling in the corridors, which was based on this, which is a sort of Gujarati, very busy blueprint. And I thought, well, maybe Anne could actually do that for me. So we started talking about our collection, and Anne would come to the studio and I'd show her things that I loved. And in fact, it's so funny because on the walls here, I kept the things that we first started talking about. And you can see how it's moved away so much from the original ideas. There's the sort of the loom piece here in the reds and greens, which is all on graph paper, which you would use before you actually started working on the loom with your fabrics. There are the gorgeous sort of 1920s bead bags that you'd wear with your glamorous gown, which is like an artwork. There are the skeins of silk, which still have the little labels at the bottom of them. And so I thought it was very appropriate that it started with that, but then built into everything else that were inspirations that I had had over the years, but never really put together.
Because textiles are a massive part of any interior design toolkit, right? But I think for you especially, you really go for it with the fabrics. I mean, the way these walls are covered in fabric. So it's really interesting that a lot of your designs, well, this is what I'm going to ask you actually, are a lot of your interior design schemes led by the fabric, or do you design fabrics to suit the scheme? Like, what comes first and where do you get your inspiration from?
Textiles are really the basis. And I mean, it's so interesting, isn't it? Because we're all different. Some people can be really guided by architecture, some by all the technical sort of aspects, some will be, some will come from it from different angles. But for me, it's always been textiles. And you know, we had great big sort of cupboards just filled with them, and you'd get them out and sort of sit with them all around you on the floor and think, oh, I just want... Somebody was here today who's just come back from Uzbekistan and she's just been to Tashkent, and I'm thinking, I've got to go. And so there's always that next step.
This is FOMO, basically, isn't it? You don't want to miss some great inspiration from somewhere.
If there's a chest somewhere just filled with fabulous fabrics, I want to find it.
Funnily enough, I was reading an article about you. It's quite an old piece in Homes and Gardens, and it said that as a child, you remember your mother had a huge chest where she wasn't an interior designer, designer, as I understand it, but she loved fabrics. Mm. And she had a chest where she collected lots of scraps and pieces that she found from markets, whatever. My mum had the same chest. And she never actually made anything out of any of the fabrics, I recall. But I, too, remember being a little girl rustling through this chest and just all the textures and the colours and the feel of the fabrics.
Mine was the button box. That was what my granny had, was the button box. And it was always an old biscuit tin, wasn't it? That was slightly rattled. And I've still got, she had three buttons from an evening coat, and they were mother of pearl with Diamante in them. And I remember sewing them onto a pair of really boring suede white company slippers. So I've got one still on my dressing table. The slippers, sadly, have long gone.
I've still got my mum's old Singer sewing machine.
Oh,
and, you
I
know, they
that.
Were gorgeous, those Singer sewing machines. They almost had mother of pearl on them. It couldn't do much more but just run in a straight line. But, I mean, from that, I could cover a sofa. I could do anything, because the great thing about being so young is that if you saw a Picasso painting, you'd think, oh, I think I can do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can do all these things. And actually, you can if you just get down to it.
Do you sew?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Because we're seeing a real big boom. You've just taken up sewing.
Well, no, I went...
I've retaken it up.
I went to the sort of school where you didn't have to play sport, but you did have to be able to sew. And I worked out at a very early age that my mother would not buy me new clothes, but I could always talk her into buying me new material.
So that's clever.
Constantly making clothes. I had a fabulous red dress I made out of an old tablecloth. Had a Marmite stain by the hem, which never came out, which is a great dress.
If it was anything like my clothes, because, you know, we'd buy a Vogue or something, but it bore no resemblance to what anybody was wearing in Hedge End or Southampton, where I came from. But from those pictures in Vogue, I'd be trying to make the dresses, and they'd look kind of okay on the outside. On the inside, they were a boggle, probably.
Yes, I know that boggle very well. I want to ask one thing. This is my private theory I'm just investigating. A lot of interior designers and creators have childhoods where they moved around a lot and grew up in lots of different countries. And I think that's a fairly sort of short line to wanting to create home for other people. You have gone into hotels, which is the ultimate sort of home away from home. Did you, you've just mentioned Southampton, did you grow up in a sort of stable house in Southampton and yearn to travel because it was a port, or did you move around a lot?
Actually, it's interesting you should say it's a port, because the local market was filled with women wearing saris and people who came from abroad. I mean, it was where, you know, where immigration first came in, and the marketplace on a Saturday was actually really quite incredible.
And the colour, yes.
And the
saris.
So gorgeous, so wonderful. But you know, the funny thing is, somebody said to me, do you feel that you've had to have travelled to have done all this? And that it's not true, because I have a friend who's like an explorer in the 18th century sense of the word, and he's travelled all around the world, but he can't talk about it. Whereas, you know, he doesn't make it exciting, whereas somebody that I know who's never left home can talk about travel in such a way that you feel that you're with them. And I do feel that with my fabrics, with designing, it's almost the thought of being there rather than actually going, and you can be surrounded by those ideas, and somehow the reality might be disappointing, but in your mind it's so much more colourful.
It's quite an interesting blend, your interior style, because actually there's a really big element that I think is very sort of English country house, with the furniture and the layout and the shapes of the furniture, but then it is this very original blend of then bringing all those fabrics, which I suppose traditionally, I'm actually just watching one on the screen now, and you say even some of the fabrics are hand embroidered, they've been made in a mill in India, because that's where a lot of the heritage of textile heritage is in these
chintz
countries.
Came from India. So many sort of different designs came from all over the world, actually. And, you know, I do my blog sort of every week with my girls, and it's like a show and tell. And they're terribly young, some of them, and they're saying, well, look, we're using all these Aztec designs. And I'm saying, well, no, they're not Aztec. They're actually sort of geometric. But some of them will have come from the Eastern Bloc. Some will have come from Romania. Some will have come from India. Some will have come from South America. But, you know, there's always that crafted artisanal feel, but it's not Aztec. But they're so young and they don't know. But it's really exciting to hear their views and what they think about.
Because both your daughters have come into the business, is that right?
Yeah, they have. I mean, I have put them on separate floors.
I think that's so lovely. But they're working in different parts of the business.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Minnie's now in New York and doing a lot of the residential side. And then Willow, who got an architectural degree, is very good at all the packaging, at actually getting scale and balance right when we're designing lamps and
furniture.
Oh, you've
done so well, Kit. You've basically just spawned your kind of like perfect employees.
I know. It's so great, but they need a lot of space.
Right. Fair enough. And do they, have they always, because again, sort of going back to our experience of our mothers and grandmothers and, you know, their love of textiles or indeed buttons, do you think you've really given your girls that imprint of design or the way that they've grown up and the interior spaces that they've grown up in, sort of informed?
Well, yeah, I mean, I did take them to all kinds of junk shops from a very early age. And I always remember, you know, some lovely old lady saying to Minnie, "And what's your name?" And I didn't even know Minnie could actually properly speak. And I remember her saying, "Minnie." She was so sweet. But then Tiffany, my very eldest daughter, cannot stand to go in any museum, in any shop or anything like
that. She's done the rebel.
So she has done the rebel, and I don't blame her.
And is her house 50 Shades of Grey in a rebellion, or does everybody like colour and pattern?
She doesn't care. I mean, I actually...
That's the ultimate insult right there, isn't it?
She really doesn't. But then she's got her sisters and her mum who actually say, "Come on, Tiff, let's do this." But actually, she would much rather have all the dogs and be surrounded by, you know, everything like that. She's much more sensible, probably.
It sort of like harks back to what you were saying in the bedroom there, when you were saying even if somebody's not particularly bothered or engaged in their interior space, and that there are unbelievably those people out there who
apparently
walk through life not obsessing over a contrast piping and a button detail like we do. I mean, who knew? But they are there. But you talked about trying to bring them in through the intrigue of maybe unexpected colour, the intrigue of how something's been tailored or piped and the detailing. Or the other big thing for you is the artwork.
Yes.
And I know that, you know, I help a lot of people design spaces for their homes. And there's sometimes there's another half, not always a he, but, you know, quite often it's the husband who isn't interested or invested. What's your advice to people if you're trying to get the non-interested person on board with your design aspiration?
Well, I always think you need to have a sort of decoy focal point in the room, which says something about you. I don't want to go into interior designed rooms. I want to go into rooms which are full of character. And, you know, if your husband is a fisherman and he's sort of making all his little flies and things, frame something, make it into something really wonderful.
Bring them in.
Bring them in. And then if they're a runner, I've always thought, you know, the soles of some of these incredible track shoes look amazing as frames of something. I mean, you can actually, and then, I mean, I noticed that we were making frames actually out of egg cups to do the circles round it. I mean, I think it's lovely to see an involvement. And if your husband can make the frame of something, if your children can paint something around the edges, if you can make something in the home which you have made, then immediately it's a talking point and people will pick up on it. People are terribly sophisticated. They really get it.
I love that idea. So what you're saying is it's not even just about shopping a look. It's about, because I always think as well, if you've had your hand in a transformation, whether it's you've rubbed down a piece of antique furniture or you've re-oiled an old chair back to life, you've sewn your curtains, even just that, you know, and I'm saying all of this having done none of those things, but if you can have, I do decorate occasionally, it does make you feel more connected to
Definitely.
The space. There's something, there is a deep sort of emotional connection. You know, you might just look at that skirting board and go, "I'm really proud of that straight line I did on that skirting board." And you just
Definitely.
Think of it again and again over time.
Yes, and it's even right down to the tableware. I went to Wedgwood and there are these women that just paint the gold lines around the edge and then they sit you down and you've got to try and do the same thing. And of course, what you do is an absolute mess. You can't do it. But it's just so lovely. But I will never forget those women who have done it. And I've still got the plate that I made a mess of, which actually I now put my soap in by the bath. And every time I look at it, I think of them. Another craftsperson.
I went many years ago to a glass blowing factory and they said, "Oh, come along and blow some glass." I said, "Well, marvellous. I'd like 6 wine glasses." And they said, "Well, yes, you know, given 20 years and a lot of help that possibly you might make 1 wine glass." And I turned up and watched them and they blew this beautiful glass and said, "Now you have a go." And I still have the 2 jugs which are allegedly matching, clearly not, and there's one which is very thin glass, beautifully shaped, and then there's this kind of blob with a wobbly bit on one side, which is the one I did. But, you know, it's exactly that. You remember forever and you can celebrate, can't you, the training. And that perhaps is what you also keep going, because these crafts are dying out.
Yes, if you lose one generation. But it's not only that, it's even the factories. I mean, if we go to Surface Print in Accrington, it's three or four generations.
And this is a wallpaper printing
factory. Yes, it's a wallpaper printing factory. And, you know, they have the earliest block printing, and then they come right up to sort of cork printing and all kinds of various things that we're doing nowadays. And then I speak to the men who are working there, who are so clever, and I say, what's your home like? And he says, I leave that to the missus, he said. And I'm thinking, he knows so much, but he doesn't even realise how much he knows. And it's really important that those people are teaching the next generation, because if a generation is lost, it's gone.
And you're a massive, massive ambassador for that, I think, of craft on every surface, piece of furniture, everything. And you know, that's so wonderful. But also the other thing I'm hearing is, don't be afraid that it's not perfect. You know, going back to your wonky, your blobby jug and your wonky soap dish.
I love those, don't you?
So do you want to tell us a bit more about the perfection of imperfection? Because I quite enjoy a bit
it
of a wobble
is.
And a bit of a wonk too.
But I don't know what you're like, but as a designer, my house is filled with things that went slightly wrong.
Is this the prototype?
That's
not quite a type.
Said.
Because the colours weren't as they should have been, or it's changed, you know, as you're going along the sort of meterage. But in a sense, I've always loved that. And that actually has been my start. And it's funny, because when I was doing some things, even for Chelsea Textiles, where they are the most beautiful embroideries in the world. And I'd say, Mona, can we just change that slightly? Can we make this just a bit more garish? And I could hear Mona saying, oh, well, you know. But lovely. I think that adds the character. So, you know, I've never bothered about that.
Keeps it interesting, doesn't
Keeps
it?
Keeps it interesting.
Yeah, and original.
Yeah, makes you look twice.
And there's an element, makes you look twice. Love that too. And there's also an element that makes you smile. Like, there's a little bit of humour.
Don't
well
you think that is so true? You're so right. I do think that a lot of interiors lack wit. And I think a little bit of whimsy, a little bit of making you smile, a little bit of saying, how could they have done that?
Yeah. That's the outrage.
But that's interesting, isn't it? Because I think people are frightened of wit in interiors because it's expensive. Therefore, they feel they must take it very seriously. And they're frightened. But, you know, our producer Sarah is now sitting on your potato print chair, and that's actually potato prints, isn't it?
So it is. It's based. It as potato prints. I mean, it's much harder than you think doing these potato prints. It takes us several afternoons of doing that, but we loved it. It's really good. But you know that we're looking at us all just around the table. It's all the interesting, quirky bits which give us our character.
It's such an interesting point, isn't it? Because I think our home and the way we dress can be similar but also really different, because it's our private space, isn't it? And I think it should be considered that as well. I think, you know, there is apparently some horrific stat of like the amount of people who decorate to impress other people rather than please themselves. Like, it's more than half.
Right.
When canvassed, I think we've had it on a previous podcast.
Keeping Up with the Joneses.
Yeah, to sort of impress everybody who comes around. And I just think that's bonkers, because you're the person in the house 24 hours. Well, in my case, because I work from home a lot of the time. But also, it's so important to your self-identity, your self-worth, your family, how you feel in a space. So to shrink that down to try and look sophisticated or whatever, I think is really tragic.
So what would be your advice if someone is stuck, and as you say, might feel that their clothes are a little bit more adventurous, but they're feeling a bit beige? How would you unstick for any listeners who have heard this and think, oh, I fancy a bit of that, but I don't know how?
Well, I would do a statement chair. I mean, there's always one chair in the room that people always want to make for even the dog. And if you can actually just use some fabulous fabric, something that means something to you. Maybe when you've gone to Morocco and you've got sort of marooned in the marketplace and come out with some fabulous sort of fabric which you've had stuck in a drawer, get it out and cover the ottoman or cover a chair. And suddenly you've started. Once you've just started on that slippery road of absolutely loving colour and spicing up your life a little bit more, there's no turning back.
So it's not just a cushion, people. You can't get away with
start
just
with a chair.
You've got to have a whole statement chair in it.
Great advice.
I think that's
advice.
A great idea.
I think that's really good.
So obviously, congratulations, Kit, on your big launch day. It is obviously all looking fabulous, but I'm going to have to ask you the question because I know you never sit still. What's coming up next?
Well, I always say this is the last thing. I'm not doing anything else. And we've just opened Warren Street Hotel, which was 12 stories that, you know, tick in the box, we've completed now.
And this is in?
This is in Tribeca in Manhattan.
Wow,
yeah.
Wonderful.
So that's, I mean, I just want all my team to just sit down and say, well done, guys, because it's been an organic process. You just go back again and again and relook at things. And finally, we're there and it's in and we've done it. But I then said that we would do Kip's Bay, which is a sort of, it's a charity thing in New York. And they take an amazing brownstone on the Upper East Side and then they ask various designers to do different rooms. And so I'm doing a dining room and getting everything in place. So I'm
Can
just
you give us a
tease?
That. What are we going to see in there?
Well, you will see some of this collection. And I've got the emerald greens and then I've got Front Row working with Ring Road, which is a very large print. Then I've got a sculpture by someone called Wendell Castle, which is going at one end. And then an enormous beaded artwork by an African artist called Sané Gateha from Uganda. And he uses beadwork, which you would have seen Victorian women doing out of paper, but then makes, you know, sort of 7 feet wide, huge sort of canvases. So it's quite exciting.
Okay, you are Can't a wait. Creative juggernaut. I love it. It's like this kind of unstoppable colour, pattern, craftsmanship. Kind of, it's just so wonderful to meet you. You've been such a massive inspiration.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's been fun. Thank you so much.
If you want to find out more about Kit, then visit kitkemp.com to find out all about her collections and her hotels and everything else she does, or follow Kit on Instagram at kitkempdesignthread.
And we'll put all those links into our show notes, and of course our insiders will get some bonus material and links in their weekly newsletter.
All that remains is a big thank you to our producer Sarah Cudden of Feast Collective.
And to you, our lovely listeners. And we'll see you in the great indoors. Oh, Kate, I just met one of my design idols.
Has she gone?
She has. She's left us here. She's left us here in Suite 21. We've got the whole suite to ourselves.
We've got cake.
And they've left us tea and biscuits.
And the bed.
Do you reckon we could pull an all-nighter?
Oh, go
Let's
on,
give it a go.
Is there a minibar?
I want to jump on that huge bed, shall we?
I'm not sure the ceiling's high enough. Let's give it a go.